Dear people, please open your Bibles to the book of Colossians, chapter 3. Last Lord's Day, we looked at verse 5 of this third chapter. I want to pick up from that verse and only do, really, I think the time allows, verses 6 and 7. But as we come, I just want to give us a little bit of the process of where we come to in this point, that we would see what the apostle has given to us, and I say more surely what God has given to us here in this passage, what you and I need to understand as we look here. Paul begins this as we read in the beginning, therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, verse 1, keep seeking the things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on earth, for you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. Therefore, consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passions, evil desire, and greed, which amounts to idolatry. For it is because of these things that the wrath of God will come upon the sons of disobedience, and in them you also once walked when you were living in them. Let us ask God's grace and mercy to us once more. Our Father in heaven, we ask you now as we look at the word of God here, that you would give us fresh understanding, that you would guide us by your Spirit, and he would be the one who would guide each and every one of us to hear what you have to say. But Father, we pray that you would, by the Spirit, even help me to be able to speak what you have laid up for us in this text to the people this morning, that it will be you and not just the man who is speaking. So hear our prayer, O Lord God, and come to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. We began this passage which focused upon the abandoning of the old life, where Paul exhorts the brethren to put behind them their previous lives of sin. And he said that in verse 5. Here he tells them what they ought to do and how they must work on it. We find that the abandoning and the diverse vices of the whole life we see in verse all the way down to verse 11. Sins of desire is what Paul begins with in verse 5 to tell them what they need to deal with. And as we'll find out in two theological facts Paul gives even after that, which we find in verses 6 and 7. Sins of disunity is what follow in verses 8 and 9. But we want to look at just at verse 6 and 7 this morning because it ties in so powerfully with verse 5 and what takes place there and how you and I need to think even this morning and for the rest of our lives as Christians to hear. Now, as we recall, looking at verse 5, Paul said powerfully, therefore consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passions, and evil desires, and greed, which amounts to idolatry. Paul told them, and he said in that point, when we looked at that, it was those sexual sins that had plagued the whole Roman Empire and mankind all over the world. And those sins were the kind of sins that they lived in. It was nothing for men to abuse women and to have their own passions just satisfied on the, whatever they would want to do with women. It's something that we read just now in the Old Testament reading, how a brother can abuse his sister because he had some sexual desire for her. And we can see even from that very reading that that sexual desire was nothing that was right, because after he abused his sister, he hated her. He didn't want to be bothered with her. He just fulfilled what was in his heart and his mind, and that is to have those desires just satisfied, that he would be and do whatever he wanted to do. Paul here in verse 5, therefore consider the members of your earthly body. And we looked at that last Lord's Day and what he was saying there. Not that it is the members as far as the hands that touch where they shouldn't be touching, or the eyes that look where they shouldn't be looking upon, and so on and so forth. But it is what is behind that and using the very members of the body. That's what had to be dealt with. You can cut off your arm, but that ain't going to do nothing with what you want to do, and that is to commit some kind of sin. You can even come and be those who lose speech, but you can curse in your mind, and that will still bring forth the horrible wickedness of the person who she or he may be. So Paul is saying here that what they must do and understand that they are true different people now. They are not the people that they were in the past. Yes, they are still in body and mind, but yet now they are in Christ. Remember, we looked above and how Paul could say in verse 2 and in verse 3. But I like verse 1 because I think this is the very one that we all should think about. He says, therefore, which goes back to chapter 2 and as it ends. He says, therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. And Paul says, set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on the earth. Now that's strange talk to you and I this morning, because we cannot almost pull ourselves out of setting our minds on the things that are on the earth. But Paul is not talking about legitimate things. He's talking about the things which you and I would live in as men and women of faith. And our lives and our bodies tell us that we need this, that, or the other thing, or this will satisfy us, and so therefore this will be the thing that we would chase after. And Paul says, the reason why you should do that, for you have died, and your life is hidden in Christ in God, with Christ in God. In other words, now you are a different person now. You're not the same. What drove you before you got converted is no longer what drives you now. You are driven now because you are a new creature in Christ Jesus. And then he says in verse 4, when Christ, who is your life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. In verse 5, he said, this is the only way we can do this. He says, therefore, consider the members of your earthly body as dead. And then he lists a number of sins, dead too. And he mentions sins there. But this is not the only sins the apostle is going to mention throughout this particular chapter. But this is what we focus on this place. So Paul here, he told them, abandoning the vices of the old life is what they need to do. He need to see that and understand that. Now this morning, Paul picks up and he gives us two theological facts. Two theological facts about what you and I need to keep in our mind in order to truly go at the work of abandoning these desires. He says in verse 6, first of all, which is fact number 1, for it is because of these things that the wrath of God will come upon the sons of disobedience. Now, it said in the older translations that the last part is not in there, which is upon the sons of disobedience. It says in the earlier translations, it is, for it is because of these things that the wrath of God will come. Here's a fact. Paul is stating it. Now, Paul has already told them what they should do and how they should live and what has taken place in them. And they have to consider. Paul is saying to them, you have been saved. You have been changed. But now I want to give you a fact that you must think about. For it is because of these things that the wrath of God will come And he says here, all the sins that was mentioned in verse 5 are what Paul is focused upon at this point. The vices of sins that the Colossians were saved from were the lifestyle of the unconverted. They continue to live this way. All the people around the Colossian brethren outside the church, they were living this way. They were living in all these things. It was almost as so clear that they would do it just as easy as we saw this morning in the reading of a brother and how he would abuse his sister. It was nothing for the to live that way. And all these sins were around them. So Paul says to them, he said, because of these things, because of this, the wrath of God is coming. And the things he mentioned in verse 4, 5, 6 here is going back to verse 5. The vices are sins of the Colossians, and the sins that they lived in. This is what the sins were. And brethren, that even at this time, to look upon them and kind of even bring them out, there was a little bit of a shamefacedness of them and me. But as we look at this, we have to say, if God has it here for us, we all have to see and understand it. And this was the very thing. Paul makes it clear. This horrible sexual behavior was all around. And I changed from being so shamefaced in the last Lord's Day and preaching it, because I look around us in the world that we live in today, and that is what is going headlong. We're living in the same kind of society. Might even be worse, but I'm not sure if we can say that, because the way sins have gone and how sins have perpetrated in man throughout history. We're living in the same kind of society today. Sexual behavior is just right off the cuff, if you want to say it. Off the cliff. It's just gone so terrible. And that's what it is. And so Paul is saying that, in a sense, you brethren, you Colossians, as you are living, you are around this, though you have been saved from it, it's all around you. And all around you, the kinds of sins are there, you're going to be tempted to them also. And that's what he says, for it is because of these things the wrath of God has come. Because of these kind of sins, Paul here makes a connection here. Not that these are the only sins, but Paul says, these are the kind of sins that you were once walking in. These are the kinds of sins that bring the wrath of God upon the world. The sins mentioned in verse 5 will incur divine retribution, Paul is saying. God's wrath is his holy and righteous reaction against sin. Paul makes it clear that God will punish the wicked that willingly turn from his law. God is not going to let people sin and get away with it. God will punish every sinner. The sins you commit, God is going to deal with it. There is a question of whether Paul is speaking of the wrath at the end of coming, a time when Jesus Christ will return, and the wrath at that time come upon all sinners. It is believed that this may include both. Present wrath is when the sinner is left to his sins by God to suffer in this life and then in eternal judgment. The wrath of God also is thought of as the reference to a general principle of life. And some look at that and understand that and say, this is what's going to take place. They are those who say that the wrath of God is the rule of the universe, that man will reap what he sows, and that no one ever escapes the consequences of his sin. And that, we say, is the wrath of God. That is going to happen. The wrath of God and the moral order of the universe are one and the same thing. God orders his universe. He keeps it right by dealing with sinners. The theme of God's wrath is throughout the Old Testament and flows through the Bible with the message of final judgment that comes at the end of the Bible in the book of the Revelation. God's wrath is real. God's wrath is what's going to take place. God's wrath is not what some think today. an act of anger from God. No, it is God's way of eliminating all the opposing that opposes His will for His creation. God created the world. He created all things according to His own plan and for His glory. What entered into that creation was this horrible sin. And God is going to eliminate all of that which oppose His wonderful creation. Paul told the brethren in verse 5 to put to death the members of the body because sin will receive God's judgment. This warning underscores the need for every Christian to seriously consider the exhortation to deal with remaining sin, even right now. Dear people, we know, as Paul even told us in another place, he says, sin remains, but sin does not reign. And so therefore, you and I got to know, and we know we have to turn from sin. But Paul is saying here, when he says this, for because of these things, the wrath of God will come. Yes, he spoke of the things up in verse 5, but we know it's because of all sin, the wrath of God will come. And we have to see and understand that God is talking to us. And dear people, if we would think about it, we were no better than the Colossians in that day. We lived our lives full of sin also. And we lived our lives full of sexual sins just as also. We did things that we are ashamed of. We committed acts that we now look at God and we wonder why God would even bring us to Himself. How could you express love upon one who lived the way we did? Oh, dear people, Paul wants us to see what he was telling the Colossians here, because God made sure his letter to the Colossian church would get right down to Grace Reformed Baptist Church. And that you and I would understand, Paul said, for it is because of these things that the wrath of God will come upon the sons of disobedience. You and I, the only way we're going to be able to realize that we are not the sons of disobedience is to be those who could do what Paul said earlier on in this very chapter. Set your minds on things above, not on the things that are on the earth. You see, dear people, people walking around and they call themselves Christians, still Christians do it. They're walking around with the main concern is what I'm going to do and how I'm going to live on the earth. What will I accomplish today? How much will I gain? There are those who are talking about getting rich as Christians. They're so concerned about this life and everything, and so they cannot really do what is told to them to do as far as the scriptures are concerned. Their minds are set here upon the earth. And Paul goes on and he says, for you have died and your life is hidden with Christ Jesus. Do we understand what that means? Your life is hidden with Christ Jesus. The true life and who you are is not who you are sitting in the seat right now. You are that person. We know you. You know me. We know one another by name and by body and all that. But who you are truly before God is the person inside. Men and women see men and women walking down the street. Some will see you and I walking down the street. They don't know anything about us. We look no different than anyone else, but we are different because our lives are different. Our lives are lives which are set in Christ Jesus. Verse 4 is wonderful. When Christ, who is your life, is revealed, when you also will be revealed with Him in glory. You are in Christ Jesus. Paul said, hidden in Christ in God. Do you feel like that today, dear Christian? That you are in Christ? Do you feel that? Are you walking as you live your life that I am going? Everybody sees me and know me. I go to my job. They call me by my name. They do this and that. They know me. But I am different than what they really see. Though those things that they see is the natural man and the natural woman, they are the things which they may not see, and that is that you are connected to God in Christ. You are there. Your life is with them in Him. And He is the one who is keeping you. So Paul is saying here, this is what you have to understand, that you live a life that is not the same. And he says this wrath is coming upon the sons of disobedience. God's wrath is coming upon all those who set their mind against God. And this is something that Paul clearly stated four times in God's about God's wrath, that the sins is coming in the book of Romans chapter 1. You need not turn there. I just want to mention it to you. In Romans chapter 1, verse 18, Paul says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of man who suppress the truth in unrighteousness." They are those who not only commit sins and do sins, but they suppress that truth and they cause others to go into sin with them. Indicating, he goes on, there are three verses that state that God's action of unrighteousness and unconverted godliness will be the very things that will cause people to die. In verse 24, he says, "Therefore, God gave them over. Gave them over to the lust of their hearts, to the impurity, so that their bodies would be dishonored among them." What? God gave them over. It's almost like you're saying, he's talking to a child and say, "Son, please don't do that. Don't do that. You do that, that's going to cause you to wind up here." And he keeps on, he keeps on. So you just give them up. In other words, you do nothing to stop him from going on his track, because you know nothing's going to stop him. This is the same thing the apostle is saying. God gave them over. He released them. He stopped telling them that he would do anything to curb the sin that is in them. Go ahead, headlong in your sin. Destroy yourself. In verse 26, he says it again. "For this reason, God gave them over to degrading passions, to have those things to wreck their lives and their whole body and everything that's in them." Dear people, sin destroys people. Sin destroys them. Sin makes people act irrational. We look around us today and we find out what is going on. We look and we scratch our head and say, "How could man stoop to low that?" We know how. They turn from God. They won't hear and listen to anything God has to say. And then what they're doing, they go on their own way. They had something on the news today where one man, young people break in this store so often, he can't stop them, and the police won't even stop them. So he's trying something different. He puts up, they come in and he puts now on a video for the whole neighborhood to see what these kids are doing. And maybe that'll shame them. But guess what? It's not going to shame them. Sin takes hold of them and they go. And it's at this point, God, he just gave them up. Paul says the same thing in verse 28. "And just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over to depraved mind, to do those things which are not proper." God gave them over. He delivered them over to his judgment, is what he's really saying. This is the result of the life of living in sin and deliberate rejection of God. The word is to turn to sin, and that's what the word do. And he turned to sin. God will judge the world and all mankind because of the sins mentioned in verse 5 here. All the sexual sins. And this is what Paul focuses upon at this time. The reason is because the ungodly are disobedient to God's word and his commandment. They won't listen to it. Also, the brethren must remember that all who live thus in those sins would be judged by God. Remember, Paul is writing to Christians, and he's telling them that there is still remaining sin. And what will remaining sin do? Try to drive you into sin. So Paul is telling them, no. And that's why he says, set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. And that's why he says also, now consider the members of your body as dead. Consider them, understanding that they have no power over you. And brethren, that is something we have to understand. You know, you and I are not going to be good Christians because we have a stiff upper lip and we say we're going to do the best we can. No, we will only prove to be good Christians because truly who we are, we have spiritual life now and we are in heaven with God and Christ. Yes, we live here, but our real lives and who we are is in heaven with God in Christ. Isn't that what Paul said to us? Notice again, verses 2 and 3. Set your mind on things above, not on the things that are on the earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. That's where you are. The real you. The new you. Connected to the Lord Jesus Christ. Spiritually now. Born again. New. Everything now is no longer the old man, the old woman who lived and lived according to sin. You have now taken hold. You defeat sin. You live for God in Christ because God gives you what is needed to be given to you. Oh, Paul gives us there in verse 6, fact number 1, the wrath of God is coming. This is the warning to all us today. It's a warning to each and every one of us. We have got to truly go to work on sin. Let sin not have any rule over us any longer. But Paul gives, you notice in verse 7, he gives another fact. And he says there, and in them you also once walked, when you were living in them. Fact number 2. And in them you also once walked. It's good to hear that word put in there, isn't it? Once walked. Not are walking. Paul makes a big difference between the brethren who are in Colossae. You remember, if you go back and read chapters 1 and 2 and Paul, what he has to say and know what took place with the Colossians, so he knows that they are not the same. God has truly done the work that he does in his those who he save and love and bring to himself. And so Paul could say now, and in them you also once walked. So Paul is saying, you must understand, Paul reminds the brethren that the wickedness of the world was once their lifestyle also. They once lived and enjoyed the sins of desires mentioned in verse 5. That was their life of sin with the rest of the world. Sin is the reigning cause of wickedness and lustful lives. But sin has been mortified and it is no longer reigning in the believer. And this is what Paul wants them to know. Here's fact number 2. You once walked. You once, not you are still walking. Before you were saved, sin lived. But now you are dead to sin, and sin does not live in you. Paul even said it that way. It made us to see and understand that you died. As verse 3, for you have died, and your life is hidden in Christ Jesus. Oh, dear people, you and I ought to be able to look back and say that whole life that we once lived, no matter how good we may have been, but we still yet were sinners, we died to that old life. It's gone. We are new creatures in Christ Jesus now. God has made the difference in you and I, and we must be able to say this. This is our life now, and we can see this, what Paul wants us to understand. And he brings this in because what the apostle is doing here, he's going to tell the brethren in the church, as you read on in chapter 3, there's some other things that have to be dealt with and have to be dealt with and brought to the members of the mind of the brethren, but you need to understand who you are in order to deal with all these things that he's going to mention. So he says here, then, but you died. You were living in them. You did one time walk in them. In them you also once walked. He means there that your life and what you did and how you lived consisted of these sins also. You were just like everyone else. You carried on. You lived just the way they did. You were just as much as a sinner as they were. And he says this in using the word you once walked. That was your way of life. I look back at my old life and look back who I was, though some would say I was a pretty good young man, but I know I was a sinner. I know I was a sinner. There's some things that people don't know that I did. There's some things that I have come up with since I've been saved earlier. Oh, Lord, why would you ever save me? The things that I did. I am not even worthy of your salvation. And sometimes I look back at some of the stuff and I still cry. Knowing God forgave me from it, but I think about it and I cry even now. Oh, what a horrible past. But here, what Christ says here to the Apostle Paul, you once walked. And that's the thing that you and I must be able to say right now. Not that I walked there, once walked in there, and that was it. But I am no longer walking in that way right now. That's the difference that Paul makes now as he's telling the brethren. And he said, I know and understand who you are and what you did and how you lived. I know the very environment you lived in. So you had to do those things also. But that was once your life. Paul is saying, you used to live in him. You used to live your life in a horrible way. There are all other passages that remind the brethren of the pagan vices that they lived in, which no longer describes their lives. I want you to turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Paul here, he writes to them, and he's telling the brethren there in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And he mentions some of the things. I just want you to look at me as I move down kind of quickly. And notice Paul here, he brings up the same thing that we see in the book of Colossians. He says in verse 9 of chapter 6, or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor homosexuals. Boy, I wonder if they read that today. Nor homosexuals, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. You see what he does? He mentions all those sins there. But notice what he says in verse 11. He says, such were some of you, but you were washed. But you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of our God. Paul says something has taken place in your life. You are no longer the man, the woman that you used to be. You are new. You are in Christ Jesus. God has made the change. You have been washed clean from your sins. You have been sanctified, means set apart for the service of God. You've been justified. Your sins, which God's wrath cries out against, have been taken by Christ when he went to the cross on your behalf. He suffered what you and I should have suffered. And here is what Paul says. Also in Titus 3:3, he says, for we also once were foolish ourselves, disobedient, deceived, enslaved to various lusts and pleasures, spending our life in malice and envy, hateful, hating one another. That's the life we had. He said, that's what it was. But that is no longer their lives. They were living in them, as we say. This phrase takes us back again to verse 3 in Colossians chapter 3. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ Jesus. Dear people, I thought about this over and over again for the last few weeks. Do you really understand what it means that you died and your life is hidden in Christ? And how Paul says in verse 3 of chapter 3, for you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. That's where your life is. That's where you, who you are right now. That's where you are. You're in Christ. And Paul goes on when he gets down to verse 5. He says, now consider the members of your earthly body dead. Life now for the Christian is in Christ. So life in the body itself and all it stands for and how it lives and all the things that it does, what we say, how we act, it can be controlled by the life that is in Christ. And you see, that brings us to the real understanding of what it means to be born again. Oh, the picture, the whole idea is the old me was put to death and a new me rose to life. And that old me that had all the sins and wickedness in it, he's dead. That old you who had that is dead. The new one is alive. And that's what you're living in. And we have to see and understand that. You see, Christianity is not a philosophy. It's not a religion. It's the truth about life. If anyone say, I want to take up the Christian faith, I understand some of the things that said them, I'm going to call those things mine, I'm going to begin to walk that way, they don't have it. Something has to really, truly take place. And dear people, that's why so many are walking today and call themselves Christians, but they're still doing the same old things they did before. We have men who take up in pulpits and they're preaching to congregations. They love money so much they're stealing it from the so-called parishioners. Their lives haven't changed. They only take on what they think will make them richer today. And that is, boy, you can get rich preaching the gospel. Oh, people want to hear something. People want to be helped. You know, you can confuse them. I remember years ago, there was these guys who started a camp meeting. And they listened to this guy. And so they said, okay, you know, we could do that too. All we have to do is say a few words and put some jargon behind it. And put some oomph in it. Well, you know, and all that. And the people are going to listen to you. And you got them. And you know what? That's the truth. But you don't have real Christians. You got people who are trying their best to be something or to do something, but they're not really saved. Your life is changed. You, that old person, is dead. And ask yourself this morning, dear Bernie, are you the old Lorraine? The old LaSalle? Are you that old person really dead? And a new person is living now? And that's what it is for each and every one of us, dear people. This is what Paul is saying. If we are the same that we were before, stumbling through life, trying our best to not sin, but sinning at every corner and coming back to God every now and then, say, Lord, please forgive me for this one. Please forgive me for that one. What's the change? Oh, I can remember the sins that I committed. Remember when God saved me and how I hated those sins. Remember a fall into the sins and weeping, God, when will I ever get rid of this thing? And then I can remember, Lord, this thing doesn't even plague me anymore. What a joy. This is what Paul is saying. The new life. It's not some philosophy. It's not a man-made theology. It's reality. You must be born again, Christ says. It's the only way you're going to see the kingdom of heaven. And that born again is a birth that you and I have in this world. And it caused us to walk like different men or women. So Paul said he gave us the facts there. And his facts number 7 is that you also once walked. You were once walking in that way, but that is not the way any longer. As I stated on this verse in last Lord's Day, The Christian life is hidden in Christ and God. Out of this realm. You know, people can't see that Christian life we have. It is an inner life that is only known and experienced by the believer. Oh yes, we can see one another as we react and how we live to one another. Paul's going to get into that as he goes up and down this whole passage here. But he first of all dealt with this issue of these sexual sins and how they have to be thrown off. And we take that as everything that falls in the compartment of sins, of devices and all kinds of desire has to be thrown off. And Paul said, you're different now. We have to be different. We love Christ. Our heart lives are hidden in Christ and God. It is the only displayed, this new life, by our spiritual graces. And the brethren are exhorted to practice and increase those graces which the world cannot understand. They may see them, but they may not see them. The world do not understand them. Dear people, what does this say to you and I today? Now, this is not something we shouldn't read the scriptures. And I know you know this. Read the scriptures. Say, okay, this is what it said there. What does it mean for us today? What does it mean to walk in sin? It means to constantly commit sin. Same sin you commit yesterday, you find yourself committing it again today. Paul calls it this way in Ephesians 2:2, in which you formerly walked to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power that works in the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Paul says that those who walk in that way, they are now led by the devil himself. And it's the devil who controls the members of the body and cause us to go in that way. Remember the devil spoke to Eve and she gave her a lie about God and what God say. Did God say? And then he follow up with, you will not die. Oh, but they died spiritually right at that point. And this is what he's saying. But Paul goes on in verse 3 of Ephesians 2. Among them we too all formerly lived in the lust of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the will and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. We were no different, is what he's saying. But what happens? What does it mean, living in sin? When you were living in them, he actually saying, that's what I just read, you are really carried on by the sin, and the sin has complete control. And it is a wonderful thing how Paul says in Colossians 3, where we are, you are no longer under that control. That brings up an important question to us. What is leading your life right now? What is the power that motivates your life? Is it corruption or holiness? It's really what it comes to. Corruption we see in Ephesians 2:2, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now is working in the sons of disobedience. We must ask ourselves, are we still living in some of those sins that we had long ago? Have we really truly turned away from them? Not that we have mustered up enough strength and say, I'm not going to sin, but we have been moved even from the desire of the sin, which proves that it's God's mighty power that have changed us, and we truly are born again. And the only way that can be done if we're dead to the old life, made anew, the new life. That we walk in holiness. Paul says this in Galatians 5:25. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Because you have died and your life is hidden in Christ. What Paul says over in Colossians. He says there, these two verses teach us powerful truths. Christians once lived in sin, they no longer live in it. They now live in Christ. For it is because of these things that the wrath of God will come upon the sons of disobedience. And in them you also once walked when you were living in them. Christians are no longer living in them. Romans 6, 11 and 12 says, even so, consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its lusts. And do not go on presenting the members of your body to sin as instruments of unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. That should be us. That's what we ought to do. That's what we should pray for. And here God is telling us through this very book of Colossians that old life is gone. That old life is put away. But Paul is telling us here, we have to understand that remaining sin is there, and remaining sin is going to try its best to get us to walk in a way of sin again. And as Paul goes on, as we continue in this verse, he's going to tell us, don't let it happen. Dear people, how do you feel about your walk with Christ even right now today? Is it one that you could say, oh yes, I'm not perfect, but I hate sin. I will not let sin rule over me. And I believe the only way I can do that is because I know something has happened in me. I am a new creature in Christ Jesus. You see, we can't just say that and make it so. It had to have happened in us. And that's what conversion is. That's what salvation is. Oh, the sinner had come and run to Christ and said, oh, I'm reminded of all my sins. Please, God, have mercy upon me. Give me new life in Christ. And if we would think sometime, and I remember coming back, if you think that you're not sure if that really happened, pray that prayer again. God, please, turn me from the world, selfishness and wickedness, and all the things that control me in this world. May God bless us and cause us to walk in a way that Christ can look at us and say, well done, good and faithful servant. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, the words here are powerful. The words here make us think in ways that it's even hard for us to think of. The words here causes us to place all our thoughts in heaven. And the heaven which, O God, is not something we've seen, but comes to us through your scriptures. But you have given us a good picture by the Holy Spirit of that place of all righteousness. And Lord, we pray, help us to focus there. Help us to understand that our lives are in Christ and in you, the living God. And you, the one who is in us, you guide us, you bless us, you keep us, you give us what we need to walk in your word and in your truth. And so, Father, bless this truth to us this morning and keep us, O Lord God, away from the paths of sin, even throughout this week. Hear our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.